Time for our night shift daily dose of science and a bit of, I don't know, tomfoolery with my very good friend of many years now, Dr. Carl Krasiniki. Dr. Carl, good morning to you.
And Dr. Luke, lovely to be with you again.
There's lots to talk about this morning. Dr. Carl is the author of the Dr. Carl's Little Book of Climate Change Science, which is available everywhere and ABC bookstores. Dr. Carl, Australian scientists, we are part of a worldwide push to develop a new COVID vaccine. And it's a vaccine that should work against all past variants and any variants that might arise over the next couple of years. This is really exciting. How far along are we?
They're about to start the clinical trials early next year. So they go into the first stage, which is making sure that it doesn't kill people and actually works. The second stage is kind of working out what dosage works best of all. And then the third stage is testing it in a large number of people, like 50,000. And by the way, that was part of the reason we were able to get the COVID vaccines out so quickly, because instead of having to wait 8 years to get 50,000 people, we were getting 50,000 people infected in a day.
Yeah.
And so that was a big thing. And we need to do something about it, because we're coming up with cases now where people are getting reinfected. Mm. And the first case in the whole world was in Melbourne, a woman who'd already had COVID-19
yes.
in 2020. In July 2021, about a year later, she had COVID again. And since then, we've discovered cases as short as 10 days apart where they get infected with one variant and then 10 days later they get infected with another. That's the record. Normally it's a couple of months. And we used to have vaccine effectiveness in terms of infectivity of around 90%. Now it's dropped down to about 40%. So we need new vaccines. The trouble is the virus, it's mutating really quickly. Like in the early days, it mutated in response to the evolutionary pressure it was under, which was to infect more people. So the first couple of variants, the alpha, beta, delta, gamma, kappa, lambda, they started getting more and more infective. And then suddenly out of left field, we had Omicron, which is mutated to make itself a bit invisible to your immune system. So we've got the situation in Australia at the moment. The death rate's gone up by 12 in the year 2020.
Yeah.
1,000 people died from COVID, caused by COVID. Same again in 2021. This year, it's not 1,000 a year, it's 1,000 a month, and the figure's rising. And so this work that they're doing, people at the University of Sydney and other places around the world, brings closer to a kind of a universal vaccine that's getting closer to something like measles. Like with measles, mate, you get vaccinated twice or three times, that's it, you're done for life. Partially because the virus, measles, doesn't change. In this case, we're dealing with a virus that does change, and they're trying to find bits of the virus that do not change, and also that they can tickle your immune system into recognising it and fighting it. That's their good work that they're trying to do.
Isn't it amazing how COVID does reinvent itself so very, very quickly? I mean, we had our polio vaccinations back in the 60s, and we were right. We've had smallpox vaccinations. I mean, the list goes on. But you're right, people getting COVID 10 days apart. Look at the United States president.
Yeah, that was terrible. Oh, do you remember your polio vaccine?
I do. It was a purple liquid on a plastic, white plastic teaspoon.
Ah.
And I remember, at my primary school, we had two kids who were in calipers. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago.
At my primary school, the Little Flower School in Wollongong, that's a cute name, we had pretty well one kid in each class who was either in calipers, metal calipers for their legs because the muscles had gone all weak or had died.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember without any warning, we just got put onto buses one day and we got driven down to the Pioneer Hall in Market Street in Wollongong.
Mm.
And I had no idea that this would happen. And there were all these parents on the outside and they were my parents. And then the kids were just sort of bundled up the centre and then we got injected in the arm. And only later did I realise that polio was affecting adults and kids, and the society back then made the decision that the kids with a longer life expectancy should be the first ones to get it, and that the adults could wait. And blow me down, everybody went along with it for the good of the kids.
Everyone went along with it. Yeah, ours, and there was a sugar cube too, because polio, the polio virus breeds in the gut, and there was a sugar cube that you could suck on and swallow. But I had the purple medicine on the white teaspoon. Getting back to this though, so you reckon we're a couple of years off, or 18 months, or 12 months? What do you reckon?
18 months. They're just working on it. There's different groups all around the world working on it really hard, and they're trying to come up with something, because we've got the situation now that the virus puts a big viral load into your body. So with regard to the thing called the norovirus, you know, the one on the ships? The one on the ships where you're supposed to wash your hands with that squirty pink liquid? Do you know that, firstly, that virus is a killer on ships, and secondly, the pink liquid doesn't work?
Okay.
Because the norovirus is not surrounded by a fatty coating. And then you put the alcohol on it, and, you know, it might bother it a bit, no big deal. It's only for viruses that have got a fatty coating around them, like, luckily, the COVID virus, that the alcohol wipes. Still, everybody lines up to do their hands, and it's better than not washing their hands at all. Anyway, so with the norovirus, you need only 8 particles of the virus to infect you. And there was a classic case at a wedding in New Jersey where there were about 10 or 13 tables. This was about 10 or 15 people at them.
Yes.
And on one corner of the room, somebody vomited, and the staff came in and then swept it up. But enough virus traveled through the air that about half the people got infected, including some people at a table way on the far side of the room.
Wow.
So you need 8 particles of the norovirus. But with COVID, you can have up to 3 million particles inside your cell, and each particle will replicate 2 or 3 or 7 times before it gets wiped out by the immune system. And the overall result is that for every 2 people that get infected, because the virus is mutating, you get 1 mutation for every 2 people infected. And so it's mutating in people right now. And with regard to the vaccine, less than 2/3 of the world have received 2 doses.
Yeah.
And like when you go to your local swimming pool for a swim, it doesn't say, hey, Luke, it's okay to urinate in this side of the pool. because the urine spreads everywhere. And in the same way, if everybody's not vaccinated, then the disease spreads through the whole of society. And so we need to address vaccine equity, make sure that everybody gets a chance at it, as well as get better vaccines.
Dr. Carl Krzyzanicki is with us. It's Dr. Carl's day today. Dr. Carl, let's move on to something else that's quite important. We were talking about the amount of Australians that are forced to go dumpster diving in order to put food on the table. It's quite distressing. And I've spoken to Steve Clifford, the CEO of Second Bite, which is a charity organisation that retrieves food that supermarkets throw out so that they can give it to charities and feed starving Australians. But here is a question that came up. Everybody presumes that if a food is preserved in a can, let's take, for example, Dr. Carl, a can of baked beans, right?
Mm-hmm. I love baked beans.
But if they're in a can and they've been sealed, what is the expiry? Because we're talking about expiry dates. And then someone rang me up and said, talk to Dr. Carl about this. It is not safe to eat food from a can that is damaged. In other words, a can that has a dent in it. Dr. Carl, is this true?
Yes and no. So tin cans go way, way back to Napoleon wanting to have a way of feeding the army.
An army marches on its stomach.
Yeah. And so in 1810, finally, a Frenchman came up with the idea, and it got sold to the British. And by 1813, tin cans are on the way. By the way, the first tin can openers didn't get invented for another 20 years. So basically, you got a tin can, and then out you come with your chisel and your hammer, and you go bangity bangity until somebody came up with the idea.
Saying they invented the tin can, but they didn't invent the can opener for another 20 years. I love that. Keep going.
Yeah. And so the tin cans are really safe, because what happens is you seal the can, you then boil the food, and everything inside gets sterilized and has already been sealed. So with regard to dented tin cans, mm-hmm. Well, steel is pretty flexible and it will move. By the way, did you know that bouncing steel on steel, a ball bounced on a steel plate will bounce higher than a rubber ball on a hard surface?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, steel's more flexible than rubber.
Okay.
In that sense. And anyway, so steel is quite flexible and it will bend, but if the dent is on the seam at the top or the bottom, okay, there is a bit rigid, and you can, if there's a dent there, almost certainly there's a high chance of a crack. But in the body of the tin, if it's a small dent, the steel is flexible, it'll move. If the dent is deep enough, this is the rule of thumb used by the American Food and Drug Administration. If the dent is deep enough so that when your finger sits in the groove, it's below the surface, as you've probably bent the steel too much, there could be some micro holes. So, but if it's less than the dent, than your finger depth, then you're probably okay.
Right. What kind of baked beans do you like?
I like all of them, but tonight I was able, because the family's not here, I was able to cook my favourite food, which was soya beans. Oh, God, I love them. Pressure cooker for 45 minutes, and it got this gorgeous, buttery, soft feel. And my family says, what do you put on it? And I said, nothing.
Okay. I'm not sponsored by Heinz, and I wish I was, but I'm not. But Heinz baked beans in ham sauce, that's my go.
Oh, ham sauce.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
My family's big into all these condiments and spices. And I do have to admit that it does taste better. But there's something about the purity of soybeans and then three steamed vegetables, one of each colour, that just fills my heart with joy.
It doesn't take much to fill your little heart with joy. Dr. Carl, we love talking to you. We'll be talking to you live from Tasmania next week.
Oh, Pidgey King, that'd be gorgeous.
You have a good trip and I'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Thank you very much, Dr. Luke.
Thank you, Dr. Carl.